God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Last week, I started to ask a question. I asked it first in this program. And that is this. If you are really excited about President Trump's second term, and you're really looking forward to his style of governance over that of the figureheads and Kamala Harris, the question is, do you want him to have unfettered powers? Do you want him to have complete control? So far, I've had no one confess to that. And the reason I asked the question is because I had started to find myself tempted to think, yeah, you know what? President Trump should be able to clean house on his own. I found myself thinking that feeling it emotionally, not thinking it. Rationally, of course, I want the checks and balances our founders designed into our system because I believe that God inspired them to design such a thing. I'm not saying that the Constitution and Bill of Rights is equal to the Bible or that they're equal to the apostles. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that inspired by God. So I started to ask myself the question after a discipleship group meeting. In Idaho, I have a discipleship group meeting 7 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. And about 99% of the guys in there voted for President Trump. A lot of the conversation had started to turn towards what President Trump might do in his second term. And a lot of people ask me because of what I do for a living. And my honest response is, guys, I talk about this at work. I'm actually here to talk about the Word of God. I really don't, outside of work, want to talk about politics. I know that disappoints some people. I just flat don't. I spend so much time reading about it and talking about it here that if I meet with you and I have the pleasure of meeting you, I'd far rather hear about your walk with the Lord, really honestly, than talk politics with you. And yet that's what I do. So the reason I asked this question this morning and bring that back up is this. Do you want honest critiques of some of President Trump's actions? I think you do. I think we all do. And President Trump should be able to take the criticism. Look at what he has taken. Two attempts to kill him, to jail him, to steal his businesses. Of course he can handle it. Of course. So let's be Americans. Let's do the thing we do. Let's have some honest critiques. I'm deeply concerned about Tulsi Gabbard's faith. I know that's controversial. Not Hinduism. I mean, obviously, I am an evangelical Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. I believe that no one gets to the Father but through him. I believe the only way to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to agree to be changed by him and to abide with him. You can't earn it. You can't earn heaven. It's a free gift given through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe these things. Therefore, I believe that Hindus are not going to heaven. And if that makes me sound mean, I'm sorry. When I speak those words, I feel mean. I feel sad. I feel those things. And I also feel hopeful. Because courtesy of AFR and these 180 radio stations, we get to take news and compare it to the Word of God. And Tulsi Gabbard is, as I understand things, she's a Hindu, but there's more. She is apparently the adherent, or an adherent, of a guy who calls himself Chris Butler. He's changed the spelling of his name from K-R-I-S to C-H-R-I-S, Chris Butler, and he has a name that follows that. It's a Hindu name befitting a guru of Hinduism, though he has, as I understand it, been, the mainstream Hinduism has distanced itself from Chris Butler, Siddhaswar Upanada. Siddhaswar Upanada. And then there is a last name to that. I'm just learning this stuff because I'm just beginning this research. Parama Marasta. And later in the show, I'll let you hear him say his own name. He is apparently thought of as God on earth by some of his followers. That deeply concerns me. Deeply concerns me. Because he's not God here on earth or anywhere else. He heads an organization called Science of Identity. And I've listened to some of his sermons, and they're word salads. One of his sermons is called Love, the Religion of the Soul. And in this sermon, he explains that because people can change from being a Christian to a Hindu, from a Hindu then into a Buddhist, from a Buddhist then into a Muslim, that religion is not us. Therefore, you are not a Christian. You are not a Hindu. You are your soul. Okay. Which he then takes upon himself to describe. Chris Butler style. Chris Butler has made these revelations. Chris Butler has delivered this news. This, well, not good news, but news. That deeply concerns me. Tulsi Gabbard praised this man at an event on August 18th, 2015. Now, perhaps this has all changed. Perhaps Tulsi Gabbard is no longer this person. Perhaps she no longer follows this faith. Perhaps she no longer follows this man, because it's the man she follows and the nature of some people believing he is God on earth that has me concerned.
Now,
this is Tulsi Gabbard's video announcement at an event praising this man.
Me to do so for my own edification. Throughout my life, I, like so many of you, have been faced with stressful, challenging, or fearful situations. But in all these situations, I've had the great fortune of being able to find solace, inner peace, and spiritual happiness by taking shelter in the holy names of Krishna. Indeed, simply by uttering Jai Shri Krishna, my lips taste sweetness beyond compare, and my heart leaps for joy. But the fact is, if not for the compassion of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I never would have achieved this supreme treasure of Krishna's holy names. Srila Rupa Goswami says, a person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. It was this compassion that drove Srila Prabhupada to attempt something so brave and so daring, to deliver the message of Lord Chaitanya and the holy name to all of mankind.
The holy name. Now, again, people of differing faiths are welcome in our government. That's our system. This is not a critique of Tulsi Gabbard's intelligence. It's a critique of a faith headed by a man who some of his followers feel is God on earth. It's the critique of a man who takes a word salad approach to explaining faith. Here's what I mean by the word salad approach. When this man explains that because one can switch from being a Christian to a Hindu, and then from a Hindu to a Buddhist, and then from a Buddhist to Muslim, or all these things. One could say, I was Catholic, and now I'm evangelical, or I was an LDS member, and now I'm not. All these labels. He then proceeds to say that the labels are meaningless. Well, until he gets to his label. Until he explains his view of faith. Now, it's meaningful because he says it. That is applying godhood to oneself. Now, the reason this concerns me is because if Tulsi Gabbard carries this belief that that man is God on earth, and he is doing what has been suggested he's doing by the Hawaii Free Press in a very lengthy article about this guy, there's a lot of coverage on this guy and on Tulsi Gabbard, that he apparently wants his followers in positions of political authority. That concerns me. That really concerns me. And the reason it concerns me should be obvious. If he's God on earth and he tells you to do a thing, I would think you would do that thing. Let's examine it this way. People will say of the Catholic faith, oh, so now you're going to say Catholics can't sit in government because the Catholic Church has a pope. Well, the Catholic Church also has the Bible. It also has elders, as it were, bishops. It has an authority around the pope. Yes, he can act with papal authority. Yes, he can do that. And there's a power structure around him, some balance. There's also the very word of God. And Catholics are very capable, of course, like other Christians, of opening the word of God and saying, huh, this does not comport with the word of God. For instance, the current pope does not have the affection of a large number of Catholics. The family who brought me to the Lord Jesus are very good Catholic people and Jesus-loving Catholic people. And they brought me to the word of God. They brought me to the Bible. To this day, I thank them for this. They've adopted me as a godson. They do not follow this current pope. They think he's abhorrent. They, in fact, have stopped attending a mainstream Catholic church. They're now attending a church that features the Latin Mass, and they love it. They consulted the Bible as the authority in this regard, as they're going through this period of time with someone they consider to be a dark pope. They intend to go back to the Catholic Church because it's their full belief that the Catholic Church will right itself, that the gates of Hades will not stand against Christ's church, and they believe the Catholic Church to be Christ's church. That's their belief. You know, my dearest friend and dear brother continues to pray that one day I'll come to the full faith as a Catholic. Because while he recognizes and applauds the church I attend and spiritual growth, he loves me. He loves me dearly. So he says things like, hey, I really want to have full communion with you one day in the Holy and Catholic Church. I respect him for that. See, that's the difference here. The difference here is if this man, the guru of the religious structure, I hesitate to call it a church or a religion because it's invented apparently by one man, the science of identity. If he is in fact considered God on earth, where are the checks and balances? Because as I understand it, mainstream Hindus have distanced themselves from him because his teaching departed theirs. It became his. Now, Her record doesn't indicate that she is anything like a traitor. She served our country. She served it very well. She served in combat. I did not. She put herself out there to be shot at and blown up. I did not. She, though, 5 minutes ago, well, figuratively 5 minutes ago, was also a Democrat and a pretty liberal one. And now she's made this turn. Now, again, it could be world events. I fully believe that Tulsi Gabbard watched her party go insane because the Democrat Party, in my judgment, has gone purely insane, but insane along a fascinating line. Their own faith structure. I wish Tulsi Gabbard might reflect on the fact that one of the things that has caused the Democrat Party to fall is they stand adverse to the God of the Bible in every possible manifestation. They have city councils demanding that parents not attend school board meetings. City councils, not to mention the school boards. If the parents are going to have this annoying habit of saying, don't show our kids pornography. A faith structure. The so-called progressive Christian church, or the, well, leftist version of an angel of light. You know, Satan masquerading as. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Heads up, I am going to speak very, very plainly about some things that will make some people very uncomfortable. I'm not going to use horrible language. I'm not going to use things to just be fantastical. I'm just going to tell you about something of which I'm deeply, deeply ashamed. I don't have any sense of pride in it. I didn't have any sense of pride in it when it was happening. So I'm going to share that with you. It's not going to be sexually explicit. It's going to be adult-oriented, but something that teens could hear. In fact, I guess young kids could hear, but you really need to be mindful of this. And I'll make that brief. And I'm not doing this to treat you as therapists. I couldn't afford the bill to pay you all $150 an hour. I am doing this because I think Christian men need to do this. I stand really convicted that Christian men who have any form of influence must share these things. And I will tell you why. It is a building of a bridge, in my mind, an important building of a bridge to people who are same-sex attracted. Because the church has made, not the church, but many churches have made engaging in same-sex sexual activity the special sin. And people who are same-sex attracted feel that. And they're well aware of the fact that many Christians act outside of biblical norms. In fact, let me say that the other way, a better way, act outside the Word of God in relation to their own sexual affairs. No pun intended. They know these things because they live in the world. And all too many of them are of the world. And we, as Christian men, specifically as men, although I think women need to do this as well, because this is not a male-only problem or male-only challenge, particularly in this society where now young girls are developing addictions to pornography. God have mercy. So I say this not because I want to. I say this because when I sat down to put this segment together, God said, yeah, you're going to begin to confess. All right, here we go. When I was growing up, my dad's best friend had two kids, and we were tight. My dad and his best friend did a lot together. He was over at the house a lot with his second wife, and I developed a friendship with these guys. One was a girl, one was a boy. The boy would go on to probably, his sister thinks he killed himself. I think so too. The police never ruled it a suicide, but he was 14 when he either was pushed off of or jumped off the inside of a bridge in Spokane, Washington. I have been inside that bridge. It would be impossible to push someone off the inside of that bridge because first you'd have to lift them up about a 5-foot lip. And then they'd have to be pushed about 10 feet towards the edge of the bridge. Now, I guess that's possible. This kid was not big and not strong, and that could have happened. But his sister believes that he ended his life, largely probably because of the abuse he suffered. This is why I'm not using names. So she and I grew up together thinking of each other as cousins. Now, we knew we weren't blood cousins or anything like that. When I was in high school, no, that's not right. Yeah, it was. I was still in high school, just out of high school. I was reunited with her. She was working at a bar as a cocktail waitress. And maybe I told this story. I saw a man putting hands on her. I said to her, I can stop that if you like. She said, no, I need the tips. And then he went way too far and really put his hands all over her. And I went over and told him, you're going to stop that. And in any case, he came over to the table where I was at. He recognized me as a former high school football player and wrestler. And he decided to put hands on me. And I had my one and only, no, actually the other one was outside of a bar. I had my only actual bar fight. Didn't last long. I flipped him and then hit him once. Again, not proud of any of this. I've shared with you that I grew up 98.7% redneck. Or actually, the joke is that I'm genetically tested for that. He turned out to be the dad of some girls I went to high school with. The stepdad. So it was awkward when I went to their house the next day for a party. In any case, that's where I was reunited with her. And she and I ended up dating. Here's the really awkward part. She was the most sexually aggressive person I've ever known. And as a 19-year-old boy, 18, 19 years old, I would say, and I mean this, I gave in. I had been, praise God, I'd been very careful. Now, I'm not here to tell you that having given in that I had deep senses of remorse. I had deep senses of worry. Why is she this way? And then one day she told me how she became so hypersexual. She didn't tell me she was a cocaine addict. And I chose not to notice that she was a cocaine addict. I felt like I loved her. And we were close. And there was this very awkward relationship that we grew up together. She had a ton of great qualities. Very smart woman. Funny. Charming. And deeply broken. So broken that even I, in my 19-year-old state, knew I can't marry this woman. Even then. So I moved. I moved to Seattle. And I don't think we ever really said goodbye. I'm not proud of any of that. I've made a ton of efforts to go find her. Because I owe her an apology. I treated her in an ungodly way. I was never mean. In fact, one night she asked me to hit her. Are you kidding me? She goes, my other boyfriends beat me up. I like that. No. The reason I mention this all to you as a 57-year-old man is because God convicted me to speak of these things, and here's why. Same-sex attracted people are of the mind that we hate them through our hypocrisy because Christian men don't admit things like I just admitted. And trust me, I don't like that I just admitted it. I know. It's true. It happened. It is before I knew the Lord. It was 30 some years before I began serving the Lord. So we as Christian men can begin to confess these things and to speak openly about these things and to repent of these things, publicly repent. I am sad that I did that to her. I am deeply sad that I did that to God. It makes me ill to think of the Lord Jesus watching that go on, knowing in fact that it would go on. It makes me ill. I'm sorry. We can confess these things and speak openly about them, or we can allow fake pastors like this pastor named Ashley, this comes from protestia.com, to be the face of God to these people. Now, she's hardly anything, nothing like the face of God, but to same-sex attracted people, this is the God that they're seeking.
Good morning, family. Happy Pride. Thank you. Beloved, welcome to Old South Church in Boston here on a high holy day, Pride Sunday. Today, we celebrate the here, queer, and fabulous among us while recommitting ourselves to upend all systems of oppression and hatred. Today, we worship the God whose love is stronger than any other force in the universe. If this is your first time back in church, for a long time or ever. Welcome. Here we believe that God created all people in delightful diversity, that God's heart is open wide, and so is ours. So trans, non-binary, intersex, ace, pan, bi, queer, bear, lesbian, or gay, or a constellation of identities that evades labels altogether.
I hope you caught the bear one, B-E-A-R. I won't explain it because there could be kids listening, but that's a new one. It's new if you haven't been in the major cities for the past 20 years. That's an identity between same-sex attracted men. That's the face. Pride. When I was dating this young woman, I can't tell you how many of my high school friends said, "Oh my gosh, where did you meet her? She's beautiful. Stunning." I had girlfriends, female friends from high school, not knowing the details. "Oh, Herman, she's beautiful. Are you going to get married?" And I felt this sadness. Oh, you don't know how damaged she is. And by me taking advantage, how I am. My friends were proud of me. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, we read, "When pride comes, then comes the disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom." When pride comes, then comes the disgrace. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." We, as Christian men, and frankly, sisters, as Christian women, must begin to speak about the way Satan has used sexuality in our lives. We must begin to confess. The more we confess, the more we show true repentance, the more we're willing to share how horribly broken we were, the greater, the bigger, the broader the bridge we have for same-sex attracted people to understand that struggle is so hard. Reverend Sean Fiedler of South Boston Church, Old South Church in Boston, he gives an address to kids talking about pride, a human emotion loathed by God.
This whole month, we are celebrating pride. Do you know what pride means?
We know what it means to God when it's human pride.
The word pride means to be happy for yourself. But pride is also the name of the time set apart to celebrate LGBTQ people. You know, in our church, we welcome lots and lots of different people. There are kids who have two moms or two dads.
Very true. We welcome all sorts of people into the church, and then we tell them the truth. The gospel, the good news, the Lord Jesus died for us. Through his blood, we can have redemption. And it begins with this: repent. Repent of your sins. We don't sponsor their sins. The so-called pastor continues.
There are people who like boys and some who like girls and some who like both. There are people who are trans and there are people who just don't feel any of those boxes are right for them.
In other words, they don't feel that God's design applies to them. No one is trans, no one has ever been born in the wrong body, and no one deserved to be treated like the girl I'm telling you about, now a woman my age. And yet, her father was just being himself. He was just being himself. Shouldn't he have pride in what he did to her?
And are just themselves. Do you know why we welcome all people to church? Well, first, and this is a big one, but not everyone gets it, Jesus told us to. It's true.
He did tell us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all he taught.
He told us to love everyone, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Everyone is welcome in God's house, no questions asked.
Well, no. If you are in a biblically observant church and you become aware of a brother sinning, let's say having an affair, cheating on his wife, and you go to that brother and say, "Brother, you can't do this. You're sinning against God. You're sinning against your wife. Please stop." And that brother doesn't stop, you're to take it to the elders. And if that brother won't stop, the elders can't convince him to stop the sin behaviors. They have license to remove him for a while from the church. You're not welcome. We can't have you in here continuing pridefully in your sin and walking into the church doors and pretending all is okay. We can't have it. Please stop the sin behavior. Please repent. And when you repent, please come back. Doesn't mean you stop talking to the person. It can. But we're to fight for relationships. Human pride. A whole month celebrating it. Sorry if I made you uncomfortable today. I think we need to be uncomfortable sometimes. We'll come back with the Tower of Babel. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling real quick here. This is sort of a pre-Babel babbling, pre-Tower of Babel babbling. The Mockingbird media is rightfully wigged out that RFK Jr. has been nominated to head the Department of Health and Homeland Health and Human Services. They're properly freaked out because this could end a massive and lazy meal ticket for them. And that has to do with pharma advertising. The reason that pharmaceutical companies advertise on TV is probably not to sell drugs. And why would I say that? Well, if you think about the way they have to advertise what are largely poisons on TV, they have to do things like this. They have the happy, happy music, and this Excelitrol will change your life. Do you have trouble sleeping? Excelitrol can give you a healthy night of sleep. You'll wake refreshed, in love with the world, and recommitted to your marriage and your children. May cause ulceric bleeding of the brain, brain tumors, and the loss of a limb. Oh, well, but you'll get a good night's sleep. Often the disclaimers are longer than the actual claims about the product. So that's not necessarily an effective way to sell a drug. Ask your doctor about this thing that could cause ulceric bleedings in the brain and a tumor in your face. So they do this because when they control, as they often do, or take up nine out of the top 10 advertising slots, they get themselves a level of immunity from criticism that's hard to come by in the Mockingbird media without money or ideology. This is another reason why the pharmaceutical companies have cozied up to the left, because the left is willing to push their products into the bodies of children, no questions asked. I give you the modified RNA injections. I give you antidepressants and ADHD to solve a problem that does not exist. There is no serotonin reuptake problem. The studies have now proven that was never a thing. I give you the transing of kids. So the Mockingbird media has good reason to be concerned about RFK Jr. because he said he'd like to see pharmaceutical advertising banned on TV. We in New Zealand are the only two countries that allow pharmaceutical advertising on TV. Now, you can have a free speech discussion about this. Happy to have that discussion. It's an interesting one. It truly is an interesting one. But what is not, in my mind, in question is the fact that the Mockingbird media protects pharma at all costs. They're not happy with RFK Jr. getting this nomination.
Good evening and welcome. Breaking tonight, another head-turning personnel pick by President-elect Trump, choosing Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an anti-vaccine activist, to serve as Secretary of Health and Human Services. If confirmed by the U.S. Senate, Kennedy, an environmental lawyer, would lead a family of agencies responsible for protecting the health of Americans, including the Centers for Disease Control and Food and Drug Administration. In the past, Kennedy has spoken out against COVID vaccines and childhood vaccinations, though recently said he wouldn't take them away, endorsing Donald Trump after his own run for the White House ran aground.
It ran aground, of course, because the Democrat Party was suing him and they refused to endorse him. He could have been their standard bearer. He is not. He is not against vaccines. He demands that they have full safety testing. Like every other drug, that's not being against something. And of course, Lester Holt and MSNBC, NBC knows this. So the very idea that a guy who's a lawyer is going to head up a government department, how weird, a lawyer, you say? And incidentally, as Lester Holt was talking about these government departments with the mission of keeping us healthy, how's that going? Americans have some of the lowest life expectancy in the developed world. Despite the fact that we spend more on what is laughably called healthcare per person than many countries in the developed world. Obesity levels have skyrocketed. Drug addictions, starting with pharmaceutical addictions, have skyrocketed. Those departments have done nothing, not a single thing to help the health of Americans. They have, in fact, harmed it. The New York Times, we'll talk about this tomorrow. And I'll give you the full article tomorrow during the Tower of Babbling. The New York Times looked to take RFK Jr. apart, and they focused on his critique of sugared so-called cereals, and specifically they said Fruit Loops. RFK Jr. has claimed that Fruit Loops in America have different ingredients than that from where in the UK, suggesting that Fruit Loops in America are more dangerous. And the New York Times said, however, our investigation shows that's not true. But then they go on to list all the different ingredients in Fruit Loops in America versus those in the UK, such as in the UK, the colors in the Fruit Loops come from this stuff called fruit. The colors from that garbage in America doesn't come from fruit. So the New York Times said, no, it's not true that there's different ingredients. And then they went on to say, here's all the different ingredients. They're that concerned about RFK Jr. heading up the Department of Health and Human Services. That's a precursor to this, where on this program we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I have dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. Tom Nichols, I guess, used to what, pose as a conservative? He's then kind of flipped, you know, because Trump and Orange and literally Hitler. And he is not happy with one of President Trump's campaign or cabinet picks. And I critiqued her in the first segment today. I'm concerned about her faith structure and her guru. I want to know if Tulsi Gabbard is still a member of the Science of Identity. And if so, does she believe that man is God on earth? It's fair to critique. Listen here to Tom Nichols, who apparently doesn't want a critique.
The idea that while these are just different opinions and that she'll be investigated by the FBI, first of all, different opinions are not the same thing as putting somebody at the head of the intelligence community who thinks that Vladimir Putin's in the right about Ukraine. Second, the administration has already said it wants to dispense with FBI background checks precisely so that they can do things like this. The idea that the FBI is going to come to Donald Trump and say, no, can't have her, she's got some problems in her background, is laughable.
The fact is this. It's okay for someone who's going to be the department the Department of National Intelligence to say, I prefer we not be a part of the Russia-Ukraine war. It's okay for her to say, you know what? That territory belonged to Russia until we decided to start a coup in Ukraine. It's okay for her to say that. We started this conflict by starting a coup. I don't want American lives at risk. I don't want to have our money involved in this. Ukraine is a deeply corrupt country. Somehow that's disqualifying to Tom Nichols. Somehow that means that she is a tool of Putin. I've never met Putin. I think Putin's a murderous kleptomaniac. And I think that Zelensky's the same. I see no overriding national interest there. And incidentally, the president's team talking about the FBI investigating his cabinet officials lets you and I think together on why President Trump's team might not exactly trust the FBI to do honest, fair investigations of his nominees. Can anyone put together any idea why there might be some cynicism there? I mean, the FBI having tried to take him out twice or three times, legally, as it were, by lying about him. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Interesting. Elizabeth Warren has a new theory about Tulsi Gabbard. No, it's not the science of identity, the what I think of as a cult, of which she was apparently a member and maybe still is. Nope, it's something unique, something you've never heard before about someone surrounding President Trump, Senator Lizzie Warren.
His whole questions like Tulsi Gabbard does, you really want her to have all of the secrets of the United States and our defense intelligence agencies when she has so clearly been in Putin's pocket? That just has to be a hard nut.
Wow, hold on a second. Putin's pocket. Wow, Elizabeth Warren is breaking some news this week. There's people connected to President Trump who are in Putin's pocket. Well, but she's just one senator. Soundbite number three in today's Tower Babbling. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a Democrat in office.
She's considered to be essentially by most assessments a Russian asset and would be the most
dangerous. Is that how you consider her? Is that what you consider
her? Oh, yes. There's no question. I consider her someone who is likely a Russian asset.
Man, there's a lot of Russian assets in this country. Doing things like saying Americans shouldn't be placed on domestic terror lists because they criticize the regime. That's some Russian stuff there. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is. Yes.
On a Disciple's View.
I did ask my wife, we were driving back from attending some sacred music at Lady of Our Lords in Spokane, Washington, near where we live. Beautiful, beautiful music. A chorale, very faithfully to the way it was done back in the day. And I did ask my wife to look into the Mike Tyson fight. Who won? And on a personal note, I'll tell you, I was hoping that Mike Tyson would beat Jake Paul. I don't know why. I don't know anything about Jake Paul. I think it's because I'm 57 and Mike is 58 and Mike was the champ of my life. And Mike's a very, very deeply challenged human. I don't think he knows the Lord or anything like that. I'd pray that he would get to know the Lord. And I thought there could be a shot. But there's so much from that fight that is so, so like America these days. If you saw the clips of Mike Tyson training, he looked like a monster. And the clips were always about 18 to 20 seconds in length. He looked like he had that upper body power. And he did still impressive physique. They didn't really show his legs. Tyson was solidly beat by Jake Paul. And Tyson said that he had nearly died in June. He had to have 8 blood transfusions. He said he'd lost 25 pounds. If that's true, and I don't have any reason to believe it's not, then it's impressive that he could even get in the ring. And maybe a bad idea. So youth won out. It's not skill. Jake Paul is nowhere near the fighter was. Mike Tyson was in his youth. In his youth, Mike Tyson would have knocked Jake Paul out in about, well, any round he wanted to, frankly. It's not always that way. Not always. We got to be involved in an exchange one year as high school wrestlers with some guys who came over from Germany and Russia, teaching a clinic on wrestling and trying to get guys to get involved in Olympic level wrestling. And we put it on at a local high school, and we got to get out on the floor with these guys and roll around. And then we had sort of a mock match. I mean, mock, it was a match, but we kind of figured the Olympians would win, and they did. And I remember thinking, if there's one guy out here who can take on an Olympian, it was this guy named Brad. And Brad was a 3-time state champ, headed to 4. And he came up from the state of Montana. And everybody knew, you get on the floor with Brad, you're probably going to lose. So he was getting warmed up, and I saw the guy who was going to wrestle, who was from Germany, go outside. And he'd been holding his little baby with his wife, and he went outside. I thought he's going to warm up, and I just kind of walked over, just wanted to see what this guy did. You know what he did? He smoked a cigarette. I stood there going, he's smoking his cigarette. Brad's going to win this. And he kind of saw me, nodded at me, finished his cigarette, went back in, and there's about a minute to go. He jumped up and down a little bit. He kind of stretched his upper trunk a little bit. Then he put his took his sweatshirt off, pulled up his singlet, and I saw the rock hard abs and pecs, and this old man, still smelling like cigarettes, went out onto the floor, shook hands with Brad, and pinned him in about 19 seconds. And Brad was stunned, and the crowd was stunned. And he walked back over where I was standing and kind of smiled. And we all got to visit later. And I talked to him about that. I wrestled a long time. He very good wrestler. One day be champion. I wrestled a long time. I think the guy was an old man. I thought he was. I went back and looked. He was 34. Oh my goodness, how time changes our perspective. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.